Okay, let's see. Gisela, why don't we do the roll call? We've got folks. Let me do the agenda stuff, and
okay.
We'll let a few more folks join, and then we'll do the roll call. So on your screen is a fairly straightforward series of sort of questions that I thought I would try and type the answers to during the call. I would really like to see if we could get a preliminary agreement on some language to go into the final report. Not necessarily perfect, but close enough that we could hand it off to Margie and Marika to do a draft for next week. I think it's just time to draw a line under this phase, get some language pulled together, see if we can get a draft done and get that submitted. So that's really the goal for the call today. We'll see if we make it. Gisela, why don't we do the roll call now, and then we'll get started.
With pleasure, on today's vertical integration call on Monday, the 1st of November, we have Roberto Gaetano, Mikey O'Connor, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, Barry Cobb, Krista Papek, Eric Brunner-Williams, Ron Androff, John Nevitt, Jeffrey Eckhouse, Sebastian Bachoulet, Stephen Mutasami, Paul Diaz. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Mike Zupke, and myself, Gisela Grubel-White. We have apologies today from Cheryl Langdon Orr, Jeff Newman, and Baudouin Chambet. If I could please also remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, especially with such a large group on the call. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela. We'll do the housekeeping stuff first. First, any changes to DOI or SOI that people want to share with us? Okay. The other housekeeping item we were talking about just a little bit before the call started, we're in that transitional moment of daylight savings time, and my presumption was that we would, once the U.S. Switched over to daylight savings time, we'd realign the call so that it's at the normal time. And maybe we should just take a moment and see if that causes anybody a problem. It knocks Roberto off the call next week, but I think we sort of knew that was coming. Any objections to just switching the UTC so that the call is at the same time of day that it's always been? Okay, so next week when daylight savings time in the U.S. Switches over, that's what we'll do. Okay, so I think that what we need to do, folks, is we need to say... chat's off to a good start. Way to go, Sebastian. Is just draw a line under this and say, look, in terms of public comments, no, we didn't really review them the way that they're normally reviewed in working groups, but we want to acknowledge them and acknowledge that the reason we didn't review them is because they basically became a surrogate for the underlying disagreements that we have and have identified. And then, you know, thank folks for their comments, attach the comments to the report, certainly include them in the final report, and move on. You know, I'd sort of like to get that out of the way, and then we'll move on to the rest. Eric, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Mikey. This is Eric Werner-Williams. Mikey, I don't see how the people who submitted comments, public comments, know that they're surrogates for the underlying disagreement. I mean, those of us who are in the group who submitted public comments, yes, that's reasonable to impute some degree of knowledge to the commenters. But for those who were not in the group and who submitted comments, to associate them with surrogacy for some conflict seems overreaching. Thank you very much.
Well, I didn't mean to imply that they were. I meant to say that the discussion of the public comments became essentially a forum for us to fall into our camps and then argue the fundamental disagreements that we've had all along. I wasn't meaning that the commenters were surrogates. That's a good correction. But rather that the discussion of the comments is essentially a replay of the underlying disagreement. Because we tried it a couple of times. We tried it two or three different ways, and each time we sort of got into the same logjam. And so I think what we ought to do is just acknowledge that and move on. The prospect of going through 101 or 110 or whatever it is, comments, one by one, and replaying the sort of existential dialogue over and over again strikes me as not a good use of any of our time. And so rather than do that, put something in the report that explains why our treatment of public comments is a little bit different than the norm. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey, and I'm sorry to making this into a back and forth, but I don't think that we've actually, yes, I appreciate your point that we've gotten distracted into our own sort of self-referential discussion on several calls, but I don't believe, other than Margie going through the collected comments, that we've actually attempted to extract any ideas that were present in the comments that were not present in the discussion. And I use as an example of this the comment from Brett Fawcett that there are registrars who engage in no current public registrations, and they are somehow categorically different from registrars which do engage in public registrations, and of course which are all also categorically different from registrars who are merely shell registrars. And so our approach to this has been entirely about kinds of registries, but we've ignored that there are kinds of registrars. So that's an example of some fact issue or policy possibility which was not known to us in our discussions and yet is knowable through public comments. Thank you.
Well, and I think that gets us to the next part of the discussion. I think one of the things that we would say in this treatment, in this initial report, or in this phase one report, is that there's something that's likely to follow, and that the public comments could well inform that discussion, but acknowledging at the same time the fact that this phase one discussion is done so that we can get finished with this and not get lost in months and months of discussion on a policy discussion which, at least in my view, is now moot. The board has taken the decision back. It's time for us to step back and push the reset button and take those public comments and everything else that we've learned in this dialogue and push it into the second phase as material to be considered. I don't think that we discard them, but I also don't think that we're going to fundamentally change any of the conclusions in the report by beating our head on that wall. Alan, going in.
Yeah, I think I'd like some clarity on whether this, in your mind, this is the final report that's discussed in the bylaws, because the bylaws and the charter have no the charter have no concept of phase one and phase two. So I want to know, is this the final report as called for in the bylaws, which essentially will give council the opportunity to say, thank you very much for your work, you're disbanded? Or is this just an interim report in the overall PDP process, which is delineating what we have called phase one? Because I think there's a very big difference between the two, and I don't get a sense that we're all talking about the same thing.
Well, what I'm talking about is the phases that we laid out in the status report to the council in Brussels. And in Brussels, we said that we were going to divide our work into two phases, and that phase one was primarily aimed at trying in a very expedited way to arrive at conclusions that could support the request from the board for advice from the GNSO. And essentially, the time frame of that was that if we were able to arrive at consensus in or around Brussels, in broad strokes, and then use the subsequent period between Brussels and now, basically, to put the finishing touches on it, that then at Cartagena we would present our final phase one deliverable. The outcome was a little different. We did not come to consensus, so we wrote an initial report that said that, took public comments on it. The public comments did not move us to consensus, thus it did not fundamentally change the contents of the initial report. I think we ought to acknowledge that, call that the phase one final report, submit that to the council, and then get on to phase two.
Okay, as long as we make clear, I would have preferred not calling it the final report, which is going to obfuscate what we're talking about. But
well,
even if we use
phase one report
term,
I don't care.
I think we need to make it clear that this is not the bylaw mandated final report, as at least some councillors believed it was. So,
yeah, I'm not even with final report I just want something to close out this phase so that we can, to use Barry's term, push the reset button and get, you know, started on the next phase. I don't want this to drag on for a whole other.
I have no problem with the concept, just the nomenclature.
Yeah, okay. Margie, I've ignored you, but go ahead, please.
Sure. I was just going to say the same thing that Alan said. Under the bylaws, this wouldn't be the final report, because the final report is typically something you send out at the end of the PDP and the work isn't done yet. So I would encourage us to call it something else, like the interim report or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. And, of course, I want to plus one to what Alan and Margie just said. But going back to the board taking this back and making the public comments less useful in your, I just want to respond that the public comment is more important than any action the board undertakes. Public comment trumps whatever the board does. You know, it exists independent of what the board chooses to do. So we shouldn't be deciding what to do with public comment based upon the board's decisions. Based upon the PDP's process, which calls for us to at least review the public comments. And I'm not saying that we haven't reviewed them, merely responding to the comment that because the board has taken the issue back, that our duty towards the public comments is somehow altered. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eric. Any other comments on this approach before I declare it the approach and ask Margie to write something to embody all that? Aubrey, go ahead.
I agree with Eric completely in regard to the comments that need to be done. I also, though, think that we have to acknowledge that whatever base the board having taken this problem back, that the board set for the first round is something that we'll have to take into account. So as in a sense, the new starting place. So while I totally agree that regardless of what the board does or doesn't do, we need to do the right thing by the comments, that what the board does do is critical to where and how we reset for phase two. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that basically what we're in right now is a period of uncertainty as to the inputs into phase two. Certainly one of the inputs is the public comments, because that's where we can pick up issues like the one that Eric described, that Brett raised. But the another key input to phase two is what indeed happens at the board level as an input. And what I'd vastly prefer to be able to do is draw this phase to a close so that we can prepare for that next set of inputs and on into phase two. Okay. Anybody else want to chime in on this? Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment. Eric made a comment that the public comments trump what the board does, and that's to the extent that the board makes a decision which is relatively restrictive. To the extent that the board allows certain things may mean that we can't go backwards from there in any future decision just because you can't turn the clock back if you, let the horse out of the barn, so to speak. So what they do will be the base under which we're working, because we can only make changes in certain directions in the future. So. But otherwise, I agree.
All right. So that's what we'll do. We'll sort of capture the sentiment of this piece of the MP3 and introduce the public comments that way. Say, look, this phase is done. We want to draw a line under it. We want to prepare for phase two. The public comments are not forgotten. They are not left the side of the road. They were very difficult for us to evaluate because each time we started that discussion, we wound up falling into the same disagreement that underlies the disagreement that's embodied in the first draft of this report. And so rather than repeat that, we're simply going to include the public comments as inputs into phase two, along with other events like the board decision about VI in round one. There, I tried to do that in paragraph form so Margie and I can write that out. Okay, on to the next piece, which is sort of the same discussion but a different point of view, and that is, okay, what's this phase two thing going to look like? And I was quite taken with Barry's email to the list that sort of described a checkpoint reset where we all take a deep breath, we spend some time figuring out the process, we figure out whether we can agree on a process, but, essentially treat it like the beginning of a normal PDP. And I think that one of the level playing ground? Did I say level playing ground? I didn't mean to. Anyway. I see this is in the chat. Oh, God, I'm not up on the chat. Sorry, folks. Anybody got a real serious case of heartburn if I sort of stole liberally from Barry's email as an approach forward? Presuming that people have read it. If not, maybe I can find it, or maybe Barry could send it to the list again real quick. I can't. Not even sure that it went to the list. Barry, did you send that to the list, or did you just send it to me and Roberto?
Oh, he sent it to the list.
Did he? Okay. I'm just not finding it in my email.
It's on 10:23. Call for agenda item.
Okay, 10:23. I got those. Ah, there we go. There it is. And it just send this one to the list again so that it's in your inbox. Basically, the notion that he's putting out is a pretty detailed series of things to do. Most... starting off with sort of acknowledging the phase one report, let's call it that. Tell the council that our charter hasn't been met and that we intend to do a reset instead of going to the council for steps. We're basically going to define our own course forward. Review the charter, maybe update it, establish a new project plan, engage. One of the things I think that's worthy of some discussion is engaging some external experts to help us this time around. If nothing else, we could have cool duels between competing experts. Work on our poll methodology so that we could do a better job of taking the temperature of the group. Figure out the final report deliverable a little more carefully, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, as I read through this, I thought, yep, that sounds like a pretty good approach, and I wanted to get people's feelings as to whether that was the way forward. If it is, I think what I'd want to do is transmogrify that into some language that goes into the Phase 1 report along with the discussion of the public comments and get it back to you guys for a review next week. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Eric Brenner-Williams. For most of the first period, I've been sitting quietly on the idea that registries are still monolithic thingies, and part of the area of exploration we could be taking for policy on vertical integration is the deconstruction or the increasing the separation that we use to describe what we call the registry function. So I'd like to put this into the issue basket now that we are past the death march for Phase 1. And I'd also like for us to explore, we've looked at registry types, whether in the context of exception or not, and we've looked at compliance as an abstraction, that is, an abstract compliance without any real regard for the type of some regard for the type of registry, but none for the type of registrar. And I suspect that it's possible that we can actually obtain some improvement of or some reduction in the disagreement between the RAC and the JN camps. I have to cancel the phone here just a minute. If we take a look at the types of registrars, that is, if we don't treat registrars as a one-size-fits-all thing. So while I like Barry's proposal, there are things that I have that I'd like to see back onto the agenda, and I suspect that other people would have their own issues that they'd like to put back on the agenda now that we're past Phase 1. Thank you very much.
I think that in reading Barry's structure, I think there's room in there to insert that, especially in the phrase that he used where he says, analyze models, the economic, fair competition, cost-benefit, market power, pro-con, use case, et cetera. It seems to me that that's the perfect place to put that, Eric, is in the modeling discussion because, you know, I think that's one of the things that we had a pretty rough time with here was we sort of had to do everything at once, and by kind of breaking this analysis up into the more traditional parts and include a discussion like what you've just started where we say, okay, what are the models that we want to consider, that's the perfect place to insert that.
If I may, I think that we also need to respond to Salop and Wright. I think we need to provide an industry-informed opinion rather than the generic, we're from Chicago, kind of everything looks alike and we have some economic ideas, information that the board has been subject to thus far. Thanks.
Yeah, although I don't know that we've got I guess I'd turn to Margie for some help on that. I don't know what the basis for that response would be. I mean, in Phase 2, we certainly can. But in Phase 1, it's pretty immutable. I don't see how
we can do
that. I think
Phase 1 is over.
And in Phase 2, certainly. Absolutely. And in fact, one of the things I would really like to see is funding from the GNSO for several sets of experts from differing points of view to help us. Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. This is Barry Cobb. I'd just like to say that the engagement of experts, however we define that, is the critical component for the reason why I even submitted this plan. I don't believe if we do not get funding to get some external guidance and work alongside the experts, then all of this becomes moot, because anything that we would do in phase two would most likely end up in some kind of the same result, just over a longer period of time, perhaps. So I without a doubt, not only respond to the Salip and Wright model that has just been published or republished in the latest minutes, but to engage with them is the critical path for us to try to find any kind of success in our way forward.
Thank you. Yeah, and in fact, in Barry's note, to just further amplify that, he underlined that. It's the only underlined sentence in his email. Okay. Christina raises an interesting point, and that is expert funding would have to go from council to board and would be tied to next year's budget. Council doesn't have any money that it can allocate itself. Margie, you got any ideas about that? Is there any way that we could get money? I suppose one thing we could do is wait a year. It might not be a bad idea, but is there any way that we could get some money out of somewhere a little quicker than that?
No, Mikey, this is Margie. It's the same process that was followed when the GNSO Council tried to get money set aside for who is funding. So essentially, it has to come to council, and it needs to be worked through the budgeting cycle. And so, if it doesn't make the next budgeting cycle, then you have to wait. Liz is on the call; she can perhaps add more clarity on this issue.
So I actually want to add, though, that I think Margie's right about the process. So I think we have to get the council involved, but I think conceivable. I mean, I think, let me say it a different way. I think the improvements, the GNSO improvements and the change in the PDP that's underway right now envisions the concept that we should be able to apply expert resources to PDPs where appropriate and where the community and the council agrees that makes sense. So I think is one that we are aspirationally wanting to support. What we don't know is whether on an ad hoc or, individual case basis can be provided for that purpose. So I think the right thing to do is to urge you to define what you're looking for with some level of precision and as a collective request. In other words, does it meet the consensus view of what should be requested? And we will help sort of marshal it, I guess, or steer it through a process that would involve both the council's review and concurrence and also some opportunity to bring it to a staff budgeting process, on an ad hoc basis, because I do think the PDP process conceives that is something we want to be able to do. It's just the reality of, I know that who is funding, for example, we don't have multi-year funding. There's some other limitations to what we can do outside the budgeting process. So sorry to be long-winded, but I think there is a opportunity to try to find a way, but the first step would be all of you defining what your needs are and then soliciting the view of the council. Thanks.
That's helpful. Are there any magic dates that we should be aware of? Having been the controller of a $3 billion university, I know about magic dates.
There are magic dates, but they're a secret. No. that was a joke. The fiscal year 12 process is just beginning, and there is an initial step where the constituency and stakeholder group and council leaders are being invited to a call to solicit input from the broader community about the fiscal year requirements, and there are some magic dates there. I just honestly don't know what they are, and they're upcoming, and so that would be another case where we might be able to help the steering process a bit and finding out what those dates are. But secondly, I do think, again, that there is this idea, at least, that there ought to be ad hoc funding, that that's not a inconceivable request. It just, I don't know how to quite manage it in this fiscal year, but there are no magic dates with that. Ad hoc is ad hoc. So, yeah. You know, it would be just getting the council's concurrence and working with us to try to figure out what the bandwidth is for that. But I know from previous times when we've been through this that the first step is going to be just, you know, presenting what you want and making sure that that's thought through and, you know, that the council supports it.
Okay, thanks, Liz. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. This is Eric Werner-Williams. An area that Sullivan and Wright were unable to address is the where the registries have volumes in the 6 to 7 figures range. I believe their analysis was mostly around very large registries or registries that seem very large from my perspective, perhaps because I'm more used to failing than succeeding in a grand way. I don't think that we actually need a great deal of funding to answer as an industry what happens in the first 100,000, even to the first 1 million names, what the real economic issues are, what the real competition issues are, and deal with the area which is the general case for all 500 of the presumed applications, and then dealing with the very large issue for some few of the 500 applications and responding to Sullivan and Wright is something that actually may require funding, but it doesn't need to spring from us because, well, in the first case, we're the experts for the under a million, and Sullivan and Wright gave no insight to the board for that particular problem area, which is over the overwhelming case. Thank you.
So I think that the way to handle this is to acknowledge the need for expert help. I don't want to define it in this draft because I think that it will wind up taking us quite a long time to do that. You know, in the budget parlance, what I'd like to do is essentially describe a set-aside or a pot of money that's needed, but not get into the specifics of writing an RFP. You know, there's a slippery slope where all of a sudden we slide down into a very detailed description of what the experts need to look like. If we were to do that, Liz, Margie, would that be sufficient to at least get a placeholder in a queue so that then the working group could devote more time than we have right now to doing a really good job of defining those requirements?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we can from a staff perspective in the budget, but I think it's really important for you that the queue is also defined by your representatives in the budget process. So you want to inform the council chairs and
right.
your, you know, stakeholder and constituency groups because they should be soliciting your views about budget and it ought to be something that comes to the top of your list.
Right.
Thanks.
So, you know, I think that leaves Barry's approach relatively untouched. Basically what it's saying in his email is that the first part of phase two is planning it and getting the resources put together to do it well. And this is where, you know, questions like what kinds of models do we need to have and how are we going to analyze them and what kind of resources will we have available to do analysis and from whom, et cetera, gets done. And that's the way I would like to leave it. You know, give the phase two initiative its own time, its own bottom to figure out the details of how it's going to approach this. But lay it out in fairly broad strokes the way Barry did in his email for the phase. Phase 1 report. Anybody? John, go ahead.
Yeah, just thanks, Mikey. Just a quick comment. Just looking at the low attendance on this call, I would just recommend that any proposal we have for a way forward for Phase 2 be put to the list as in form of a proposal. I know there were some things on Barry's recommendation that I personally didn't agree with, and I think it would be good to flush that out and on the list. Thanks.
Yeah, I sort of skipped out past the first half, and I got, what I'm really zeroed in on, John, is the bullet points toward the end. There was some editorial stuff at the beginning that I sort of passed over, at least mentally. I think where I would start is really just with the with the bullet points there, and staple that into the draft. I think what I'd like to do, John, if it's okay with you, is instead of doing the proposal to the list, I'd like to do the draft to the list and then let people beat the draft up. Is that okay if we just sort of zero in on one document rather than two phases?
Sure, that makes sense.
Okay. Well, that being the case, that's what I'd like to do, unless there's, vigorous opposition. I'm really pushing hard to get through this so that we can get a draft out this week and get something to you next week. The goal being to hit November 15th, which is a magic day for the council. So I think November 15th is 2 weeks from today. I haven't got my calendar open. Is that right? And so, effectively what I'd like to do is have a report done in 2 weeks. And I think, I think these are relatively minor changes to the report that we've already got. So I'm not hearing any huge objections, so I'm going to go ahead. Margie, Liz, you and I can put our heads together after the call and see what we can do about getting a draft out. The last bullet on my little list there is really throwing the ball to Margie to see if there is anything else we need to do to put into the draft of the final or the Phase 1 report. I kind of like the idea of calling it Phase 1. That dodges that bullet nicely. Is there anything else that needs to go in there, Margie, that we need to discuss on the call, or can we... Do you feel like we've got enough of a sense of where we're going to just go ahead and start drafting it?
Mikey, yeah, this is Margie. I have to start with the points we talked about on the public comments. I'll take a look at the report and see how it needs to be refreshed to include all of that.
Okay. Well, let's set as a goal then that we'll try and get a draft out. I'd like to get it out, Thursday-ish. To give people a little time to review it before the call next Monday. And have a probably vigorous conversation on the list about it so that maybe we could draw a line under it next Monday if possible. And that's all I've got, folks. Gosh, this is my second call today where I ran out of material way before the scheduled end of the call. Anything else that we need to cover, or shall we call it a day and put drafting teams to work? Not seeing anything. So I think we'll call it quits. Thanks, folks. I'll see you in a week. Hopefully we'll have a draft ready for people to review, and we'll beat that up next week on the call. Thanks a lot. See you soon. Nicola, are you there?